Welcome, everybody, to episode number 201.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, this episode being released July 18th, 2018, episode 201 of the RV Podcast. Everybody, welcome to another edition. And as always, it doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have. Whether it is a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you are just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this podcast is for you because here we talk about being out there, seeing God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We're honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Hey, are you a newbie to RVing? Maybe you're at the stage where you just sort of travel with your family and young kids. Maybe they've grown and you're trying to travel with grandkids. How far do you drive every day? Do you like state parks, commercial campgrounds, or are you interested in boondocking, maybe investigating camping off the grid? Or perhaps you're a seasoned RVer entering those golden years and not able to be quite as physically active as you once were. If you haven't figured it out right now, what we're trying to get at is that RVing and the RV lifestyle is a lifelong lifestyle. And, there's different stages. And all of those stages have different challenges and different opportunities. And that is what we're going to talk about in our interview of the week section coming up a little bit later on. Jennifer and I gathered around a picnic table at a campsite with a fellow RVer, and I think you'll find some stuff to learn from that conversation, and hopefully you will enjoy it. Also in this episode, lots of RV news. We have RV tips, technology ideas, and a really great off-the-beaten-path report from our friends the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, as this 201st episode of the RV Podcast is released, it finds us in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, staying at Bingaman's Campground along the Grand River there in Ontario, just a couple miles from the Road Trek Motorhomes factory. And we are up here this week to present a seminar at the Owners Academy, organized by the Irwin Heimer Group of North America. We did one back in April. I had a great time, and they invited us back, and we're delighted to be here. This is going to be fun.
We have been busy. We came here fresh from a wonderful week in the Great Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at another one of our Road Trek gatherings. This was the fifth gathering of this year and one of the most active ones we have ever had. We did whitewater rafting, tubing down a river, took a train excursion in the Nantahala River Gorge, and Mike is still pumped about an exhilarating zip line mountain-to-mountain adventure he took part in.
I am. I'll put a couple pictures with our show notes for this episode. And by the way, the show notes you can always find when we talk about the show notes. That's kind of a detailed outline and sort of a transcript of the podcast, and you can find that at our Road Trekking RV Lifestyle blog at roadtrekking.com. And to get to the show notes for this episode or any episode, just put the episode number. So it would be roadtrekking.com/201. Just scroll down to the section that you're listening to that, you know, we're talking about a resource and you can find it there. But we had a great time. That was just really fun. Exhilarating was indeed what that zip line was. It had us traveling a total distance of about 1.5 miles across the mountains. They told me my speed at the longest one was about 55 miles an hour. And we were 350 feet above the ground. It was really a blast.
We'll have a video coming about the week there. But if you're looking for lots of outdoor adventure, the area around Bryson City, North Carolina is a perfect place to go. But now we're off on another trip, this one to Canada. We'll finish our seminar and immediately hit the road again, making a beeline south to the Memphis, Tennessee area and we'll be there for about another week. I'll tell you, no grass is growing around the tires of our vehicle this summer.
No.
We've been crisscrossing North America pretty much nonstop since May.
I should do a check on how many states and provinces we've visited just in these last couple of months. But, oh my goodness, we have covered the ground and the miles, and we're having a ball. It's been a lot of traveling, and we've got a lot more to do here. I don't even know if it slows down till Christmas. I don't think, does it? I don't think so.
Now, what about the merch store? How's that coming along?
It's coming pretty good. Merch, of course, for merchandise. We get people asking about our hats and t-shirts, and I think polo shirts. We'll have all those coming up pretty quick. Lots and lots of other stuff, but that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Besides all this traveling and exploring, we've been shooting Vizios every day, and I think I've got 10 of them now that are waiting to be edited. And that takes about a 20-hour period of time to edit these videos. So I've got a lot on my plate to do here. And I should probably announce that besides the videos and the merch store and all that stuff, we have been working on a special book, a guide to RV travels with a dog, and that has lots of tips and lots of helpful advice. A lot of them we learned firsthand with our dog Bo, and previous to that our dog Ty, and a lot of tips that were shared by many of you who are part of our RV newsletter community. We sent you some notes, and you were very gracious to share some of your canine wisdom. And anyway, we're putting this all together into a really cool little guide, a book. And I know, you know, how much will it cost? Nothing. We're going to give it away. We just want it to be good, and we're having fun with it. And we hope to do a whole bunch of these guides, and this one should be done over the next couple of weeks. So that will that'll be pretty fun. So we're working on all those things, and we're pretty darn exciting. We'll start with a few items on that store that everybody was asking about, that merch store that we're talking about. You've seen on our YouTube videos we're wearing our little hats and t-shirts and polos. So we'll put some of those up. And the best way for people to know about all these new developments and things that we're working on is by being a part of the RV lifestyle community. And you do that by joining our newsletter. We send out a free newsletter every Monday morning with lots of RV news and tips and stuff. And we always notify the subscribers there first of new developments on the blog or on the podcast or YouTube. So if you want to sign up, if you're not getting that newsletter or part of that newsletter community, just go to the RV Lifestyle Travel blog at roadtrekking.com. You can scroll around. You'll see a place there where you can sign up.
Here's something I want to make people aware of. This has been a really, really bad year for ticks. They are everywhere this year. Every area of the country that we have visited has reported serious tick infestations. Tick bites can transmit Lyme disease, and public health officials nationwide are urging people to wear long pants and long sleeve shirts when hiking in tick country, and to carefully check themselves each day. Same with pets. Our friend Jan Seiner shared on our Facebook group that he had to pull off 6 ticks after our road trek gathering in the Smoky Mountains last week.
Yuck.
One, he said, was hiding in a hat he wore. We'll put links in the show notes to a story we did on a blog about how to safely remove ticks from pets and people.
That tick removal tool is called the Tick Key. And I think it's $15.95. You get a set of 3 of them on Amazon. It makes it very easy to remove a tick. A lot of people have all these things they do, like they put wax on it. You shouldn't do that because it releases all this toxic stuff from the tick as it suffocates. It's yucky, I know, but you want to get those things out in one piece if you can, and that helps. I keep one of them on a keychain. That's how handy they are. Like Jennifer said, every place we've gone, South Dakota, man, they said it was terrible out there when we were, or North Dakota, at the Theodore Roosevelt State Park there. Out in Montana, there were a lot of ticks. Everywhere we went in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northern Michigan. So they are all over the place. Okay, on to the RV news of the week. Here's what you need to know about.
Parks Canada closed a section of Banff National Park last week to protect the public from a bear. It will remain closed for up to 3 weeks. The section closed along Lake Minnewanka Trails includes 6 campgrounds. What happened was a couple camping in a tent went away from their tent to prepare a meal and eat at the designated eating area. When they returned to their tent, they found bear bites and scratches on their tent and belongings and realized they had accidentally left a glass of wine inside. Park officials said bears are very curious, likely smelled the wine, and went into the tent to drink it. Now, for everyone's safety, people need to remain out of the area for the next few weeks. Violators could face a $25,000 fine.
All right, we'll tell you more about that. There'll be a link on the show notes. But, you know, this is the thing. Almost all of these incidents where people are careless about food can be so easily prevented, and they have big consequences. In this case, a lot of people who would like to camp in that area can't. A lot of people are, this is the only vacation time they get, and they go, and they were looking forward to it, and now they can't because this couple left food around the campsite, and that's why those signs are there. And it has even worse consequences normally. More likely than not, a bear that comes into a tent because of food will be destroyed. So this is a big deal, and I hope people learn from that and just be a little more responsible when you're out there. All right. Hey, if you're traveling anywhere near Amarillo, Texas, and have an interest in historical RVs, I want to give you a tip about a place called the Jack Sizemore Travelland RV Museum. This is a free museum. It draws about 150 people every day, according to a story we read last week. And it features restored historical RVs. It's believed to be one of two RV museums in the country. Of course, the other one is the Motorhome Hall of Fame down there in Elkhart, Indiana. But Jack Sizemore's RV museum features a 1915 motorhome built on a Model T Ford. Was Henry Ford a camper? I'm not sure. I think he was. I think he built one for his buddy Thomas Edison, too. And I think Albert Schweitzer even went with them camping somewhere. Pretty cool. Anyway, that's a pretty neat thing to see. There's also a 1937 Cozy Camp, 1937, one of the first tent trailers, and a 1937 Airstream. We'll put a link to both that and all about Jack Sizemore on the show notes of this episode, roadtrekking.com/201.
Officials at Tiffany Springs Campground in northern Washington are trying to determine whether it's safe for the public to visit the area after a helicopter had to rescue a woman there after a pack of wolves surrounded her.
Whoa!
The woman, a research student, found the pack closing in on her. She climbed a tree to escape and called for help. A helicopter was sent to rescue her while the wolves were still there when it arrived. Rescuers were able to land and take the researcher away.
Wow, I've never heard of that. I mean, no. You know, you see it in movies, but yeah, usually
not in real life.
Usually wolves are pretty, they're pretty timid of people. Huh, I'd like to see video of that one. Hey, are you going anywhere near Kentucky this September? Well, if so, listen up, because Kentucky State Parks has a really special deal. It's going to be a 2-for-1 camping price at campgrounds throughout the month of September. Kentucky has some wonderful campgrounds. And to qualify for that 2-for-1, you need to stay either sometime between Sunday and Thursday night. And you have to give them a special coupon code, and then you pay for one night. The second night's free. We'll put a link where you can learn more about that.
Stuck inside and need a reason to smile? Try watching the Bear Cam. Katmai National Park in Alaska have their bear cams up and operating, and July is prime bear watching. The cameras stream live footage from throughout the park to literally thousands from around the world. One of the most popular live cameras is at Brooks Falls, where viewers can watch salmon jumping up the stream to bears trying to catch them. To watch for yourself and learn more about Katmai bears, we'll put a link in the show notes at roadtrekking.com/201.
That is really a fun thing. I watch that while I'm working, when I'm writing often the times. I mean, leave it up for hours at a time. and it's high-res pictures, and they're gorgeous. I just looked this morning as I was putting the podcast notes together, and there were like four or five bears right there, and it's great. I'll put a picture with the show notes, and they can see it. All right, this part of the program brought to you by Allstays Pro, the best tool for RVers who are looking for places to camp, to boondock, or to stay free overnight. Go to roadtrekking.com/allstays for more information. And let me just tell you up front, we've been talking about this now for a few weeks. Allstays Pro is our major go-to RV site. That's what we use more than any other app or service out there for finding places to stay that are really special. Out-of-the-way boondocking spots. Free places to stay. Now, many of you have used those awesome Allstays apps. There's a whole series of them, and they're awesome. But since Jennifer and I discovered Allstays Pro, which is a browser-based subscription site made by the same people, we rely on that almost exclusively in our RV travels. Now, there's a lot of reasons why. First of all, the big screen. Now, this Allstays Pro will work on anything with a web browser, including your smartphone, but we mostly use it on our laptop and our tablet computers because it displays huge maps. And on big screens, it is so much easier to see what's ahead and what options we have. Allstays Pro has a major trails map layer and then a public lands overlay. And those are really cool because then you can display those over the map that you're looking at, and it shows like 320-acre blocks around you so you can see what's nearby. Allstays Pro has more of those little out-of-the-way and less mainstream and free places that offer such awesome camping. These are places like that may only have one or two sites, but because they don't show up on other RV apps, you have a much better chance of truly being alone and in a wonderful, unspoiled location. For example, the app has 64,000 points in it, but Allstays Pro has over 90,000 interest points. And it has a larger range of stores that RVers might like for parking or shopping, like Home Depot, Lowe's, Kmart, Meijer, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's. You get quick links to do Google map searches around the location to find things like restaurants and groceries, laundry, coffee, hardware, pet stores, vets, whatever. Real smart filters. For example, if you're a member of a number of different clubs like Good Sam or Passport America, it will show all of them instead of one at a time in the app and the free website version. And if you need another reason to get Allstays Pro, perhaps the best of all is it is up to date and current, updated constantly. The apps have to go through a app approval every time there's a change in them, and that thus kind of limits, you know, to only so many times a year. But with Allstays Pro, they're updated constantly, so they're very current information. So there you go. Now you know the secret to why Jennifer and I keep finding such great camping sites. And you can too. Go to roadtrekking.com/allstays and check it out yourself.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
We RVers are always looking for ways to save space. Here's one that I've heard from several different people that is worth passing on to you. We all pack our refrigerators with condiments, ketchup, mustard, relish, perhaps steak sauce or mayonnaise. Next time you eat out in a restaurant, look for those little individual size condiment packages that so many places offer instead of having a big bottle of ketchup or mustard or whatever on the table. Now, don't be greedy or obnoxious about it, but take a couple of them with you for the RV. After a while, you'll have a nice assortment. They store easily in a drawer, or better yet, a small plastic container. Because the individual packets don't need to be refrigerated, they can be stored anywhere. Thus, you save valuable space in the refrigerator for food that does need to be kept cold. That's just a simple tip, but often simple is the best, right? Now, be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox, and I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes and now with free shipping. Now, Jennifer and I have had Rad Power Bikes since, I think, about the first of the year. We have the city bike model. Mine is kind of the guy's version with the traditional crossbar. You swing your leg over. Jennifer's is the new step-through model that you just kind of get on the bike and slide your legs over to the pedals and you're good to go. We used to call them girls' bikes, but everybody buys them now because they're so easy. Rad Power Bikes, we've been speaking about them now for a couple of years, and we're delighted to have them as a sponsor because they are such quality manufacturers of these e-bikes. Now, they're a consumer direct brand. So that means that buyers get a premium electric bike, but they don't have to pay the huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, Rad Power Bikes are priced often less than half the price of comparable bikes on the market because that markup chain is cut out. At our recent road trekking gathering that we just had in North Carolina, there were two other RVers there that had heard about our Rad Power Bikes, and they bought them and had them, and they loved them. They had the fat tire versions, and they seemed to really like the fat tire, which you can use those actually in snow even, they tell me. Rad Power Bikes makes four different bike models. All of them have 750 watts of power, which is the most powerful motor that an e-bike can have and still be street legal, which means you don't have to have a license. You can ride it anywhere. You can ride a bicycle. All their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And all models give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine the two. And you can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. Now, I already said they have free shipping, which is a very big deal. They're very simple, by the way, to put together. Anybody can put them together. It only takes you just, you know, 5-10 minutes a bike and you're done. It's basically all assembled. You just kind of put it together and bolt it in place and follow the instructions. It's great. But we can even make it better than that. Besides free shipping, if you use the promo code ROADTREKKING at checkout, ROADTREKKING at checkout, you'll get an additional $75 off. If you go to the show notes for this episode, you can see, scroll down to the Rad Power Bikes part there where we talk about that in roadtrekking.com/201. You'll see a video of Jennifer and I on our Rad Power Bikes. And of course, if you want more information on all their models, just go to radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hello, Mike. This is Mark and Nancy, and we own a Road Trek adventurous, extra-long Mercedes-Benz RV. I read your article online about replacing the serpentine belt that goes with the under-the-hood generator. Ours broke, and it's to the point where it fell off, and we can't even find it. So we were wondering if you could guide us on how to replace the belt. It looks rather complicated, but it sounds like your friend had shown you how to do it and you were able to take notes in that, hopefully. Anyway, if so, let us know. We would appreciate it very much. We're stuck on the road from Arizona and we've been living out of our motor home for 3 months because my mother is sick in the hospital and the weather here is rather brutal in California right now. And it would sure be nice if we could fix this so we can get some air conditioning going in the motorhome. Thank you.
Wow. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is you shouldn't leave, if you really need like immediate help like that, you shouldn't leave it on our voicemail message. I mean, we get them all and we love to get the voicemail, but I don't get them promptly. You know, it might be a day or two after you phoned it in. So I'm assuming you found help because you're still not out there on the road. But we've had the serpentine belt go out twice now on us on different RVs, about 50,000 miles, but sometimes under really hot and difficult circumstances, they could go off. They could go, you know, sooner than that. You should always have a spare. That's the first thing I want to tell you about a serpentine belt. Always have a spare. Now, I'm sure you have found this out, Mark and Nancy. In fact, because I'm worried about you, so let me know what happened and how you got this solved. But the serpentine belt is a It's called that because it looks like a serpent. Is the way it wraps around and twists and turns all these different pulleys in the engine compartment. It handles things like the vehicle's air conditioning. So in that brutal heat, you're not getting any air from your unit. That's how we often knew ours was out one time because we didn't have any air. But it also, in the road track that you have, it's tied in with the engine generator, which means the battery charging system. So your coach batteries won't be charged from the engine when you drive. So, you know, it's an important thing. You can drive your vehicle without it. You know, so you can drive it to get some service. But the danger of that is if that belt is completely off, great. If it's not, you don't want it banging around there, shredded and pounding into other parts of the engine. But we've had ours go out twice. The first time, a friend indeed, I wrote a piece on the blog, came over where we were camped in Florida, and I had my spare, and he just whipped it on. He had done this before. He showed me how. I couldn't begin to tell you how.
You said you almost understood it.
I almost understood it, yep. The second time on another vehicle was last summer. We were in Montana, up in the Beartooth Mountains in Silver City, Montana, in the middle of nowhere. Little tiny town of, 200 people? And I had a spare, and so I pulled it into I think it was an Exxon gas station. Mm-hmm. And the local mechanic, who often also was the search and rescue coordinator for that little area, people get lost in the mountains, he took a lot. He said, "I can do that," and he did. Yeah, I gave him I gave him the spare, and he put it on. Now, every model RV has a serpentine belt, and every model probably uses it around different things. So there's no one general instruction. You want to make sure it wraps around properly. I would always take mine to a mechanic. I'm not a mechanic. I don't change my oil. I don't think I could put on the serpentine belt. I almost understand it, which is very dangerous. Now, what is important is that you get the right belt, the right size belt for your unit. Now, ours is a V6 Sprinter road track that we have. And I got the belt from Napa. You know, there's those Napa stores all around. It's technically the Micro 5, you know, Roman numeral 5, model number. I'll put that in the show notes. But that's for our unit. I don't know whether your unit is exactly the same because sometimes they change it from year to year. There's a HD. I know this at the end of the belt number. And that is important. HD stands for heavy duty, because it is considered a truck version of the serpentine belt, and it's colored green. So you don't want the black one like most automotive belts. You want the heavy-duty green one. I remember the cost. It was about $33, and you can get these at almost any auto parts store. It's always good to have a spare, but what I would do first thing before you get one is I would call 1-888-ROAD-TREK. That's the almost always on service department there at the Road Trek factory in Ontario. And I would double check to get the correct size belt, the right part number, and all of that. But it's very disconcerting to have it go out, but it's easy for a mechanic to fix it.
It's an easy fix if you know how to do it and you always carry one belt.
I think we
and one time you had two.
I still have two. I have two in there. Yeah. Yeah. Because they go out, you know? I mean, look at how much we have been driving ours in the last week.
Yeah, we're in mountainous areas and we're really working that engine.
Oh my gosh, it was 100 degrees and we were climbing the tail of the dragon in Tennessee and the Smoky Mountains last week. That was
not
hot.
Not just once, but twice.
Yeah, so we told everybody on last week's podcast about the tail of the dragon. We had a video coming on that, but we did it going there, and then darn if our GPS didn't send us home the same way, and it was dark.
Yeah.
It got dark
in
the middle of it.
Went from Sunday afternoon, everybody out taking a cruise.
To all by ourselves.
To all by ourselves in the dark.
Yeah, it's still a beautiful drive.
And we survived.
Yep, and our serpentine belt is there. But I'm paranoid. I carry two of them. You know, something else everybody should carry is a bunch of fuses, and you've done a tip on that before, and we have a little packet of all these different fuses, you know, that you sometimes can blow in a vehicle. So
when you're out in the middle of nowhere, don't expect to have, you know, the stores that you can buy what you need. You have to take what you need.
And it always happens, doesn't it? On a weekend, a holiday, or when you're out in the middle of nowhere when you have a problem.
Have you looked at our belt? Because
I looked at it, just last week. I popped the hood.
Because remember, we've been driving it a couple times. It quit cooling off, and I said, you turn off the engine.
It was 100 degrees outside. Okay. Yeah.
You turn off the AC for a few minutes, and then you turn it back on, and it works.
Yep. I looked at it last week, and it was okay. I had to replace there's another tip we have coming on the DEF fluid. Always carry a jug of that as well, an extra jug of that. You know, I get my Sprinter serviced every 10,000 miles. They top it off with all the fluids. But in this case, I ran out of DEF fluid after, let's see, about 7,000 miles in between service. So I still have 3,000 miles before I technically need service, and I ran out of it. But again, a DEF is much easier to get at any auto parts store. Most big filling stations have it as well. But, I picked up, when I buy one jug, I buy two, and then I always keep one in the unit. So
you've been hanging around me too much?
I have been hanging. That's a good habit you've taught me. It's a very good habit. Okay, this must be the week for mechanical issues. Here's another Nancy with another problem.
I have a 2013 Road Trek 190 Popular, and the water pump has stopped working. The light at the control panel is on when I turn the switch on, but there's no sound at all from the pump. I'm wondering what's going on. Thanks.
I got an idea, and I hope this is it, because I know this has happened with other people, almost happened with us. Now, first of all, let me just say this. If you need a water pump, almost any RV service place can sell you one. They're pretty standard. They're about 70, 80 bucks, I think, something like that. But before you do that, have you cleaned the water pump strainer? This is something that everybody should do once, even twice a year if you use it a lot. It's such a simple thing. When we dewinterized down in Florida, Gainesville, Florida, this winter, we took it to Sunshine State RVs, and the mechanics there said, yeah, hey, come look at this. He said, I'm not getting the pressure. I'm not getting any water out of your water pump. And the water pump, by the way, it takes the water from your freshwater tank and runs it through, you know, your sink and your plumbing and your shower and all that stuff. If you're hooked up to city water, it bypasses the pump. You don't need to do that. So you can still get water if you're hooked up to city power, you know, or city water, you know, like you do at a campsite. Anyway, there's a little strainer on the water pump that has a screen in it. And you would not believe the gunk and the junk that clog that strainer, which then often makes it impossible for the pump to send out any water. So you want to locate your water pump in most RVs. Well, I don't know where, on the 190, I think you said you had. In ours, it's underneath one of the sofa beds, one of the sofa cushions. And you'll know where, I'm sure you know where yours is. Open it up, open up the box that it's in, look at it, and you'll see that there's a little clear, like a little tiny little jar, it looks like, and that's the filter, the strainer, and you simply usually just grasp it, push in slightly, and turn it counterclockwise. It will separate, and it's screwed into the pump. You want to turn, make sure your water is off, by the way, and you want to simply, you know, you want to open the faucet in the RV if there's any water pressure in there, and when you do that, and disconnect the water line, go into the strainer. It's real simple. I don't even have to explain it. You can see that. But just take that out, look at the strainer, and I bet you, and you can then, you don't have to take that completely out. You can just pull out that little screen assembly and that strainer screen, and I think you'll be amazed at what's in there. And that's the first thing that you should do. And really, everybody should do that once or twice a year. That is something even I can do. So Jennifer's looking skeptical about that, but I really can.
I'm thinking in the house here, we got a couple of them that need to be checked.
Yeah, I probably should. It's the same thing there. But, you know, there's different quality water. There's hard, soft water that you get when you fill it up at campgrounds and different places. And a lot of junk gets in there. So clean it out. I would not be surprised if that's the problem. If it is Kaflooey, if you have if the water pump itself is gone, it's an easy fix. Any RV service place can do it. If you can't get into a service place, which is almost impossible this time of year, call a mobile RV tech. They're all over the place. Google up mobile RV techs, whatever area you're in. Call one of those guys, tell them what it is, and they probably have the part right there. They're all pretty much standardized, and I think you'll be fine. So good luck with that. And again, when I get these questions and comments from you guys, and then I never hear back from you, so let me know how that worked out for you. All right, we got one more question. We'll give some advice about somebody who has an old Class A that they've just been remodeling.
Hi, Mike. My name is Lynn, and we have a 1994 Itasca Class A 25-foot motorhome. And we have not gone far, an hour away at best, but we love the Escape. I redid the entire inside of it, so it is decored to a comfortable glamping. We have a lot of fun just knowing we can get out of Dodge for a night, even two. Would love to hit the road, but are concerned with the distance of driving an older vehicle.
Okay, so would you drive an older car? I mean, if you have fixed up the inside of this old Itasca, I'm sure you've taken good care or had a mechanic look at the engine. And these things can run, you know, many, 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 many miles. So if you have some doubts, just have a mechanic look it over and then take off. What's the worst that can happen? You might have to have road service, but don't just stay home or close to home because you're afraid that, you know, you're a little apprehensive about it. So what kind of condition is the engine in? What advice would you give her, Jen?
Obviously, they must have checked it out, and things happen when vehicles are older. Things you don't even know, you know, I mean, go, but, you know, it's not, even if you had brand new, something could happen.
Yeah.
So just go.
Yeah, just go. But have it checked out. If you have some doubts, just say, hey, I want to go, you know, 2,000 miles. Is this thing in good shape? And they'll let you know. Most of those engines are very stable. So I encourage you to get out there. Just go. Don't worry about it. You don't have to stick around home. If you have fixed up the interior that well, I'm sure that you've taken care of and are making sure that the engine itself is maintained and all those RV parts. So hopefully you will take care of all that. Hey, the questions of the week. We'd love to have you leave one for us. All I could do is go to the roadtrekking.com blog. On the right-hand side is a little leave voicemail tab. Just click that. You can use the microphone on your computer or your smartphone or whatever and leave us a message. It records us. And we'd love to get your comments and your questions and make you a part of the show too. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Steinbring Motor Coach. They are a third-generation family business in Minnesota's beautiful chain of lakes region, and they're built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. The Steinbring family has been bringing you the best products and service within the transportation industry since 1917. And almost ever since RVs have been on the road, they have been involved in the RV industry as well, bringing you decades of experience in the recreation vehicle industry, celebrating 101 years in business, third generation family business. That's important because that's their name on the dealership. And they take great pride in treating everyone as if they're a part of the Steinbring family, which you'll be when you buy your RV through Steinbring. They've been named a Blue Ribbon dealer and a top 50 dealer across the country many, many times. They offer new Newmar Class A motorhomes. Wow, you got to find out all the cool technology in the 2019 Newmars. Give them a call at Steinbring and talk to Rich and the crew there, and they'll let you know. And in Class B camper vans, they sell the Road Trek brand new, the full line of brand new Road Trek Class Bs. They also sell pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Monaco, Holiday Rambler, and many, many others. So whatever you're looking for, Class A, they got them. Class B, they got new and used Class Bs, new and used Class As. Class Cs, a diesel pusher, gas, toy hauler. You can find your next RV at Steinbring's. They're in Garfield, Minnesota. Go to steinbrigmotorcoach.com And when you go up there, if you have an RV and you're thinking about replacing it, spend some time there. Do some camping. The chain of lakes region around Garfield is gorgeous. Lots of great places to camp. And when you contact Steinbrink, please tell them that you heard about them right here on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
The RV lifestyle has many stages, being newbies, traveling with kids, grandkids, those golden years.
And learning about different things down the way, like boondocking and not driving too far. All of those pose different opportunities and different challenges. Recently, Jennifer and I sat down around a picnic table with a friend of ours named Jim Blair. Jim's been an RVer for about 3 years, and we talked about many of those different stages, and we thought it was so interesting, we made it our interview of the week. So we were talking about the different stages of camping, and we talk about, Jennifer and I always are talking about serendipity style, but you mentioned a good point. That's kind of scary for newbies.
So when we got our Class B RV 3 years ago and started camping, it was very new. We had done a lot of tent camping and things like that, and we had that all figured out from our childhood and growing up with our parents and everything, but as we launched out in our road trek, it was a little intimidating. I mean, you've got a whole traveling house, all the electronics and everything that goes with it that you're kind of concerned about. And until you get comfortable with that, you're trying to figure out where to camp that's easy, yet easy but beautiful. And so you end up in independent campgrounds and state parks, but you've got a vehicle. We've got a vehicle that is self-contained, and we can boondock for 4 or 5 days. And we were so afraid to do that initially, because we weren't sure about how everything would work. And we were kind of drawn back to going to the campgrounds. Well, after the first year or two of doing mostly campgrounds, then it became about half and half. We would do campgrounds, and then we'd find a spot where we could boondock. And we've boondocked in church parking lots. We've boondocked in restaurant parking lots. We've boondocked in Bureau of Land Management places. But not all at once. We were afraid to do too much of that because we weren't there yet with our traveling lifestyle in our RV. But as we've progressed after 3 years, we're now doing as much boondocking as we are hooking up somewhere. And we love getting out and boondocking out where there's trees and rivers and streams and nature. But we also like going into town and finding a restaurant, having dinner, and asking permission to boondock in their back corner.
Yeah. I think people don't realize that a lot of restaurants will let you boondock in the parking lot if you ask, because you've spent some money, you've patronized them, and you want to see their town and their city, and you're right, because it's just safe to go into that KOA or the state campground, and that's what we did. We always went to the safe places, and then pretty soon you venture out a little bit, and you try those boondocking sites, and you realize sometimes you like them better than quite often better than the regular campground.
You know, the other thing that's kind of neat is how we get so in a mindset that we have to go long distances to go someplace. And that's just crazy because it's about the lifestyle, not the distance.
So when we first started, I started to keep a log, not a blog, but a log. And my goal was 1,000 nights. If I could have 1,000 nights in our RV, that was wonderful. And I was going to kind of keep track of that. Well, we're well into that 1,000. But it's not the miles. We can drive 50 miles to a state park. We can drive 50 miles to a farm or a vineyard. And there are other associations you can join to do those types of things. And you don't have to go far. For us, it's been the number of nights in our RV, because that to me is what helps me justify it. If you travel, 5,000 miles, my gosh, hopefully you've spent a lot of time doing that and you've stopped along the way and you've seen things. So it's not the miles for us, it's really the number of nights.
It's kind of like bragging rights, because people come up and say, how many miles do you have on yours? How many miles have you gone this year? It's like they think that the value is in how many miles you've traveled, not the quality of time. that you spent here and there and what you've missed along the way because you had to get from point A to point B. And maybe a danger is we get this bucket list and we want to do our bucket list instead of maybe going to that one place on the list and then scoping it out more, checking it out to find out what's in the area.
And as we've progressed, now we're discovering that every state has so many phenomenal, cool, neat little places. And most of them you can camp in. Most of them you can boondock. And if you can't boondock, there's probably a state park close by. And you don't have to venture off and see all of the national park system. That may be the bucket list, but the bucket list takes a lot of miles and you tend to go very fast. But when you find those little out-of-the-way places, and they can be very close to home, they can be, you know, 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, you know, we're in Montana and you can hear the thunder from the mountains. And we came out from Michigan, which is about a 2,000-mile ride. And normally we'd come out in 2-3 days. We took our time. It took us 10 days to get out here. And it was so freeing in the sense that we had the ability to stop, explore, stay a few extra days. I think, don't you think that so many RVers get so competitive with, hey, I did 500 miles this time and I can do 600 tomorrow.
Isn't that kind of our mentality in this country? Like how many touchdowns, how many points, how high you scored on a test? It's always that high. I think that it's just kind of inbred in us that we want the big numbers.
I think a lot of that comes from when you're working. You've got dates and times and deadlines and energy and stress, etc. And when you can put that behind you and jump in your RV for a weekend, a week, or a month, if you can put that speed and competition behind you and just say, where are we going to be? Where are we going to go? Well, if you're going to go and meet people and then travel around, fabulous. All those little stops along the way are wonderful. We haven't quite got to the point where we're doing the serendipitous travel as we get to a place. We tend to try and get there and then do our wandering around once we get there.
There are all these different stages in camping where it's just the two of you and then you have the kids and then you get the grandkids and how you can use your camping to go visit everybody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We travel to see our grandkids and we travel in our RV and it's so nice to have all of our stuff and not have to be moving it all around. It takes us 2 or 3 days to get there sometimes because we're wandering around. We see the grandkids and we take them around. I took my granddaughter to a movie and we took our RV and she had more fun in the RV than she did at the movie.
Yeah, that stage with kids is pretty neat. We started off with a little travel trailer and then a pop-up camper and then we went to a tent as the kids all moved on and then we into our motorhome and now we got grandkids in there. It's pretty, and now, you know, it's more often not just the two of us and the dog, but I guess when you look at these different stages, we put them together, we're talking about an RV lifestyle that lasts a lifetime.
Absolutely.
You know, another thing that so many newbies, I think, get, if not disappointed in, they get surprised by. You know, when you're shopping for an RV, you go to a show, you see a program about RVs, you look at a magazine, you go to even the dealer websites or the manufacturer's websites, and they show these beautiful, idyllic scenes of nature all by yourself. And then the reality that so many newbies find out is that you're in what I call tinominiums, you know? You've been there, right?
Yeah.
Those great big condominium-type RVs next door, huge skyscraper Class A's, and you're squeezed in. And they say, this isn't camping. This is like a ghetto, an RV ghetto. They listen to us talk about the joys of boondocking, but maybe you could help them realize that they can take control of this too. And in those great spots really are out there. You just have to slowly learn how to find them.
And one thing that we found, if you like these state parks, 9 out of 10 times when you pull into a state park, if it's full, they've got an overflow spot for you where you can boondock for the night.
We just stayed in Munising, Michigan, in an overflow area, and actually I think it was better than the other sites. I mean, it was $30 instead of $36. We had electric hookup and water. We just didn't have a picnic table and a fire pit. But we didn't need those two things, and it was great.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. When people are going somewhere, they think they got to stay in a campground. at $30, $40, $50 a night. And you don't. You pull the drapes at night, and it's just as if you were in the most beautiful place at all. So you mentioned restaurants and church parking lots. If you ask, people are, haven't you found that people are pretty welcoming? Say, yeah, you can stay there. It's just when you set up stuff and set up a campfire in a parking lot, that doesn't do over too well. But when you're just going someplace, you don't have to have and spend all this money.
So if I want to sit outside and watch a lot of nature, I can do that actually in my backyard. What I like about traveling in an RV is getting off the path and doing the hikes, getting off the path and finding the little museums, getting off the path and finding the little homespun restaurants. We don't go to chain restaurants. I want to see something that just says cafe. And all of those little places are so nice. And 9 out of 10 of them, you can say, we're kind of tired for the evening. Would it be okay if we parked in the corner of your lot for the night? And they almost always say yes.
We seldom get reservations because we don't know exactly where we're going to be. And like you say, there's a lot of spots that aren't listed that you find when you go to those communities.
We talked about newbies and we talked about, the stage of moving into boondocking. But there's another stage. It's just kind of as many people probably been RVing for a long time, they start to slow down and talk about that stage. You have looked at 1,000 nights, you say, is your goal. I don't know how close you are to that, Jim, but what are you going to do after you hit those 1,000?
Well, I think the 1,000 nights came from just, something, a target. And I've thrown out that target now. I was keeping track, and we have spent probably 450 plus nights in our RV in 3 years. And we travel about 120 to 140 nights a year. And we're both retired, so we have the ability to do that. And that's one big thing, is when you get into retirement and have the time, your type of RV lifestyle starts to change because you've got more time on your time. And you've left behind that busyness, that schedule of the office and things for the most part. And that's what has helped us become more flexible in our travel. The trip that we're on right now, we're going to be going up into the Canadian Rockies. And because it's summertime and it's in the Canadian Rockies, it's very busy. We got reservations, but only for the weekends. During the week, everybody's gone off. And we're going to be able to find boondocking sites probably during the week. But I needed a reservation because it's so busy. And we're going to hit some of the things on our bucket list. But during the week, we're going to wander around. And we may find a place that we just decide, let's stay here for the next 4 days. There's plenty to do, or there's plenty of nothing to do.
There's probably not a week that goes by that Jennifer and I don't get an email or a message in our voicemail from somebody who has reached that stage where their health precludes them from hiking and doing a lot of stuff. And it's very sad. They keep thinking they have to give up RVing. And then slowly, many of them realize, no, you don't. You just don't have to be quite as active. And that's the beauty of this. So I would say that's probably the another stage, the end stage for a lot of people is how long can you keep doing this? And I know from our experience, we see people well into their 80s. I met a 90-year-old woman who travels solo across the country, and she's still going strong. She says she can't take those long hikes anymore like she used to, but she still is out there. And I wonder if you have thought about when the end comes. When do you know it's time to stop RVing, or do you see this as something that you can do right until you're too old to do anything else?
My wife and I really see it as we're going to be traveling in our RV a good portion of the time until we are physically unfit to be able to drive and travel. Even at the later stages of our life, if we can't get out and hike, if we can't get out and spend much time in the museum, we can do so much from our RV and see so many wonderful things. We think it's going to go on a long time.
That is what we have decided. We're going to keep doing this until we can't do it anymore, because you don't have to climb to the top of the highest mountain, a hill, maybe a hill. As
the
long as we
becomes
can.
A hill.
Yeah, that's true. We're just going to keep going as long as we can, because we truly do love this and we love the people that we meet. It is great fun.
Well, they might take my driver's license away, but I'm going to keep driving, or if we have to, we'll hire somebody, because this is our lifestyle. And I know it is Jim Blair's too. Jim, thank you so much for sitting down around a picnic table on a Montana afternoon with the thunderstorms going over the mountains. This is the lifestyle, isn't it?
It's been a blessing. We are so blessed to be able to do this in the United States and have that kind of freedom. Thanks for letting me chat with you today.
Well, I hope that you learned something from this interview, and also maybe it affirmed some of the things that you want to do in whatever stage of the RV lifestyle that you happen to be in. Thanks to Jim Blair for a great conversation. We have a video version of that conversation, so you can actually watch where we were and the conversation around the picnic table and see what Jim looks like. There's something about the video version that's a little more intimate, and that will be posted with the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/201. And for those of you who like the transcript, we've been doing this now for about a month. I've had to hire a firm that'll do it, and they've been doing a great job, but we put those out for you as well, a full word-for-word transcript of the interview. So if you get tired of listening or watching and you just want to read it, you can do that. All that in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/201. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Sunshine State RVs. First of all, you probably have heard about them because if you are in the market for a used Class B RV, you know how hard they are to find, what great demand nationwide there are for used Class B camper vans. Well, Sunshine State RVs has the largest selection of Class B used RVs anywhere in North America. Now, you can do a couple things. You can first make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida, and meet with Nick and the crew there. Or you can go to sunshinestatervs.com and start by looking at their inventory and see what they have. If you're looking for a Class B RV, this is the place to go. They have RVs ranging from the early 90s to right on up to this year's model. They have a number of brand new models as well. They sell brand new Road Treks, Pleasureways, Winnebagos, others. You'll find popular brands are all there used. New ones, Road Trek, Coachman. They've got Hymer, new Hymers as well. Used Pleasureways, Winnebagos, Leisure Travels. And you're just not going to find a wider selection of Class Bs anywhere else in the country. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test every RV to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior just as entirely as the outside, and they turn on and test every component to make sure it works. All of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out and delivered free to your driveway. You give them a call, check them out online, Sunshine State RVs, and please let them know that you heard us talking about them on the RV Podcast.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, time to check in with our pal Steve Van Dinter. Hey, Steve.
Hi there, Mike. Well, growing up in Wisconsin, we'd have a family reunion every July, but I had no idea that July was actually recognized as Family Reunion Month. So as you're traveling around the country, you and others are likely making a point to stop and visit relatives. Or maybe you're looking to host a larger gathering of your own. Which is why today I wanted to talk about the tech to help make your own family reunion a success. Well, first, what's a reunion without reminiscing? Consider making a photo board that attendees can look at. While many of our photos are digital today, apps like FreePrints Now make it easy to print them out. In fact, with free prints, you can order up to 85 free 4x6-inch photos a month. All you pay is shipping. Well, next, set up your own selfie station at the reunion. Simply mount a Samsung Galaxy S9 or S9 Plus and launch the camera in selfie mode. Now all the guests have to do is position themselves in front of the camera and then hold up a palm when ready. The phone will start a 2-second timer and automatically take the picture. Well, you can then print those selfies on the spot with the LifePrint photo printer. This portable battery-powered printer requires no ink. It uses special paper and heat to print photos sent to it via Bluetooth. And it gets better. The paper itself is sticky back. Just peel off the protective film and stick the photos wherever you'd like. And lastly, if you haven't decided on a date, no need to try and figure it out for yourself. Instead, put some tech to work. With the site Doodle, you choose the date and time options and send your attendees a link. They click the dates and times that work for them, and you see the options that work best for the most people. Easy as that. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. You know, all those devices and services that Steve just talked about, we'll put links to them in the show notes and you can go and check them out yourself. Verizon has become the official tech provider for us when we're looking for internet connectivity on the road for the RV podcast. We used it last week. Up and down those mountains, those smoky mountains, deep in those mountain passes, my Verizon 4G signal was still coming through. It's been like that all across the country. I use the Verizon Jetpack and both that, of course, for my laptop and my internet service. And then just my cell phone and my tablets are all connected to the Verizon network. I'm not the only one happy with them. In leading network studies, multiple tests year after year that measure things like network quality performance, network user satisfaction, Verizon always at the top of the list. Can your network say that? If not, you are stuck on the wrong network, and it's time to get unstuck. Head over to Verizon and tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path. A unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, let's check in with our roving off-the-beaten-path reporters, the Burkitts, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. Happy episode 201. I hear everybody had a good time in North Carolina river rafting.
Yeah, we did.
The Standing Rock Reservation of the Lakota and Dakota peoples has had a lot of attention over the past couple of years, mostly due to the pipeline demonstrations that occurred there. Like everywhere else, though, it's mostly a country inhabited by ordinary and not-so-ordinary folks going about their daily lives. We were passing through the area when Patty decided she would be much happier if she had a haircut. Though we'd just passed Connie's Country Cut and Curl, she was particular about the haircut she wanted. Not just any old lady cut, she said. So she looked ahead and found a suitable shop in the town of Mobridge, South Dakota.
As we drove through the town to familiarize ourselves a bit, we passed a large brick building. The sign above the door reads, Sure Howe Arena, and on the glass below is lettered, Maintained by the U.S. Department of the Interior. Intrigued, we nosed into a parking spot and found that the front anteroom of the building houses the local Chamber of Commerce. The building was constructed in the 1930s by the WPA. It's essentially a basketball court with a stage on one side. You've seen them in hundreds of schools. What you haven't seen are the murals. Filling the walls around the interior are 10 large murals illustrating events in the history of the town and region.
Oscar Howe was born into the Crow Creek Sioux tribe in 1915. Originally from Minnesota, the tribe was forcibly relocated west following the Sioux Uprising of 1862, even though the tribe had not participated in the uprising. Fluent in his birth language, Howe began early on to express in art his understanding of tribal and family lore and the Dakota landscape around him. The murals in the arena are among his earliest works, painted in 1942. He was inducted into the Army before they were complete, but was given a furlough to finish them before reporting for service in Europe.
Down the street at the library, they happily provided internet access in exchange for our email addresses, and we chatted on for some minutes about town history. Did you see the gravesite on your way in, they wanted to know? Sitting Bull's gravesite? I allowed that we had not yet made the pilgrimage and asked about the feud between Mobridge and the town of Fort Yates, North Dakota. Oh, we've got the bones all right, she asserted. And when the boys brought them back the last time, we cemented them in so they wouldn't be going anywhere. Not so, say the residents of Fort Yates, who insist the bones captured in a stealthy early morning backhoe raid on April 8, 1953, are either horse bones or the bones of some random white man put on top of the actual grave to serve as bait.
I didn't want to stir up their civic ire, so I asked, as we always do, for a lunch recommendation. The two of them looked at each other and agreed the Great Plains Diner was the place to go. Well, said the one, there is Rick's down at the other end of town. The other looked a bit startled, then pensive. Then they discussed it as if I weren't there.
He might not be open. He's only there when he feels like it.
Yeah, but his buffalo chili is so good, he's won like a gazillion contests.
And he's such a grouch. It's like he doesn't care whether you come in or not.
That's true, but have you eaten that roast beef sandwich he makes? And I saw cars there when I was coming in, too. I'll bet he's open.
Well, it is good, and an aside to me, the Great Plains is all German food. If you want more South Dakota food, I guess it couldn't hurt.
Rick's, then? They both looked at me as if I hadn't been sitting there the whole time. Rick's would be good, said the one. Yeah, said the other. Try Rick's, if he's open.
There's more to be told about Mobridge, the town where we stopped for a haircut and ended up getting an education. We'll tell you about it next week. Meanwhile, if you yourself have stopped for a haircut, look around for us, Patty and Tom Burkett, out there off the beaten path.
I don't know where to go with that. My goodness, you guys are wonderful storytellers, and you find such awesome places for it to listen and to talk about. Again, the Burkitts have a saying that every town has a story. And as you just heard, the town of Mobridge has more than one. I can't wait for the second part of the installment coming up in a future episode. Thanks to the Burkitts for Off the Beaten Path.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends episode 201 of the RV Podcast. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, you are invited. Please leave us a recorded voicemail message. Click that right-hand link on the roadtrekking.com website. Hey, I want to invite you to subscribe to this podcast. Never miss an episode. You can do it on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, Tuned In, all the major podcast players that you have on your smartphone. You can also, of course, listen to it from the roadtrekking.com website. You can listen to back episodes there. Go to roadtrekking.com/podcast to hear them all. New episodes of the podcast released every Wednesday morning. Want to invite you to be sure and be a part of our newsletter community. We send out that special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. They get first dibs on all the latest news that we're talking about in the RV community. Just go to the roadtrekking.com blog and you'll see a place down on the right where you can sign up. It's free, and we'd love to have you be a part of that group. Don't forget our YouTube channel. Lots of videos all the time, all week long. Several videos a week come out. Go to RVLifestyleChannel.com. We got too many platforms. We've got to bring them all together. RVLifestyleChannel.com. Or just search YouTube for RV Lifestyle Channel. You'll find us. We're out there everywhere on the world wide web. All right, we got some miles to cover. Until the next time we talk, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. We'll see you out there riding across North America. Happy trails, everybody.